Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great start to your week. Let's bring in Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports on Twitter. Free and easy to do. He's with WNML, the sports animal. He'll be on the afternoon show this week there in Knoxville. Vinny, how you doing?
Good, guys. We had a sports-filled weekend, as good as we've had in a long time. So that was a very good thing, and enjoyed watching the Preds, although it didn't work out. Great job by Willie, as usual, on the broadcast. So, yeah, it was a fun sports weekend. Hope you guys had a good one, too.
Yeah, I don't really think sports fans should get on here and complain about this weekend. I mean, we finally had a lot of options. A lot of things to check out from sun up to sundown, actually, till, you know, basically the minute, every waking minute, right? From as long as you were up,
right. You
could watch a live sporting event, which was really cool.
Yeah, and even if you couldn't watch it live, that's live. And then if you DVR'd some things or if you missed something while there was some overlap, the other hours that wasn't live, you can go back and catch up those times. So you can literally go 24/7. And then today with what? Six NHL playoff games, it keeps going. So, yeah, the complaint department is closed for me.
What do you make of all the conference announcements last week? Everybody trying to figure out how this season's schedule is going to look.
Well, really interesting for the SEC, and obviously there was the possibility that the ACC, Big 12, and SEC would work together for that plus one model, but the, you know, these Power Five conferences, even though a lot of times we think they're going to work together, they seem to always prove us that they're going to do what's best for them. And the ACC, they were the next up, and they made their announcement on their format. And then what the SEC announces doesn't work for the ACC. And the SEC has kind of gone on this roller coaster on where they were. First, there was talk of SEC only. Then you saw a bunch of reports that no way they're going to go that direction. They'll just look at a 8-game plus one. They'll never play as many games as everyone else, on and on. And then it comes back that they do conference only. And now the ACC has to change their plan that they already came up with because of that, not having those four in-state rivals against SEC teams. And, you know, we'll see what the Big 12 ends up doing. I'm guessing that unless they partner up with the ACC, that they'll do either a 9-game conference only, or they'll do a plus one with someone geographically that has similar protocol for COVID. So, you know, the SEC was the big one. That's the one that sent ripples across college football. Now it's a matter of trying to figure out how they're going to do it. And, you know, we'll see when we find out about that.
I know Philip Fulmer was on your afternoon show, had some interesting things to say. What did he say on the Sports Animal?
Well, he said a lot of, just on that topic, though, I'll start there. He mentioned that he was asked about the different models, things like that, and he said that the 2021 and 2022 crossovers, which is one of the most talked about versions, probably the most reported that the SEC might do, it's the cleanest, it's the easiest, and it takes the SEC sort of out of the conspiracy theories, not completely because it's life today, but they're predetermined sites, determined you get a home and away, so it kind of takes them a little bit off the hook, and it's easy to do, just add those two games. And Fulmer was asked about that, and he mentioned that he thought that was a possibility, but he thought a bigger role in the decision-making would probably be the strength of schedule. He thought that would play a bigger role than the crossover opponent. So I thought that was interesting. Look, do you guys have opinions on things that don't play out? Sure. So take it for what it's worth. But I thought that was an interesting little nugget or hint, if it was that, that maybe we are headed towards a strength of schedule model. And look, that's not going to make everybody happy too. You can act like you're going to give the toughest games to the teams that have the lightest current opponents, but your only basis is the strength of the record, the win percentage of what those teams did last year. And it's never going to be identical with coaching changes, loss of talent. I mean, you're not going to judge LSU as a 15-0 team. And then some teams are just going to get better as well. So it's going to be inexact as well. People are going to be mad one way or the other. But I think those are the two biggest models, and that was what Fulmer said about that I thought was noteworthy. But there were other things as well.
Vince Ferrara is with us from WNML over in Knoxville. Vince, thank you for watching the broadcast, even though it did not turn out well for the Predators in terms of the result. Hopefully better things in game two. But you actually checked in with the other bubble in the NBA and talked to Kyle Alexander from the Miami Heat. What kind of perspective did you get there?
Well, I got a chance to interview him a lot when he was at Tennessee doing those Vol Network basketball pregame interviews before every game. So I got a chance to talk to him a lot. And then there was all the postgame interviews as well. And you could tell that he has matured some. Not that he was immature at Tennessee, but he just sounded like he was in a really good place, like he was happy, like he had more confidence in himself as a basketball player and in his game. That's something that Rick Barnes would talk about all the time. He doesn't know how good he can be. He started playing basketball probably 10 years later than what a lot of kids did, 8 to 10 years later than what a lot of kids did. So he is a little bit more raw. But, we brought up a compliment that Pat Riley had about him and said that he is the protocol for a big in today's NBA. And he said, yeah, I saw that. He said, my dad actually sent me that article. And he said, it's just such an honor to have someone of that stature in the NBA, say anything about me, especially like that. So he's worked on his game. He's worked on his jump shot. I asked him about the G League, and he was like, oh, man, it was amazing because, I got a chance to work. I know I'm raw, but I know I've made big improvements. He talked about how the bubble, is fine. No complaints at all. He said it's kind of like college in some ways. It's like being in the dorms or in housing, only it's on a higher level. That gets a chance to see some of the other former balls that are in the bubble, like Grant Williams. He said was three floors up from him, and they're in the same hotel. Saw Admiral Schofield some. Just sounded like he's not in Miami's current rotation, but he's with them there in the bubble. And I think he's part of their future as such an athletic big that wants to work and get better. So, he said he took up piano and during the quarantine and just a really good kid that's come into his own as a basketball player. And that was cool.
He's going to have some stories to tell someday about this whole experience, without a doubt. Trent Dilfer is a guy that obviously has a great eye for quarterbacks. We have picked his brain so many times over the years about what he does. Give us your take for what he told you about the Vols' commitment at quarterback Caden Salter.
He was really impressed by Salter. And he said that he is very coachable. He thinks he has got it all, is how he phrased it. And he says he's a guy that can really run around, throws well on the run, processes things well. And he said he is a thrower first that can run and make plays. And he just talked about how important that is to put defenses in a bind. And it also clarifies coverages for you. And he's one that he thinks, he also that he thinks he's going to be able to really make the adjustment to college well. He also pointed out, I thought this was interesting, he said he didn't realize he had the type of body when he actually saw him in person versus on tape that he can put on 25 good pounds to his frame to help him take some of the punishment that you get on the college level. And he thought that was a huge plus as well for him, because he can give you the zone read looks and the design runs at times or just make plays, but he could put on that weight to help him sustain some of that. Very high on Caden Salter, and I think Tennessee fans listening to that interview be pretty excited about what they've gotten, and it wouldn't surprise me if his rating, because he's done so well on that Elite 11 circuit, more and more people are recognizing him like Trent Dilfer, is so knowledgeable. Wouldn't surprise me if his rating continues to go up during the process until we get to the first signing day.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML, up in Knoxville. And something that obviously we've been talking about on this show and keeping up with in the NFL, just the amount of players that are opting out, that are moving to the COVID-19 list. So just what are some of your thoughts on that, of what that could mean for the NFL season, of having some of these starters and depth players that aren't going to be available for these teams?
Well, it's concerning. I think it's 81 or 82 at last count, and it's a constant fluid situation that had been put on the COVID-19 list. Through yesterday, 9 of them had returned to the active rosters for different teams around the league. So there's a path back. It's not a guarantee that they have COVID-19, that they've tested positive. Either they have, or they've come in close contact with someone that had it and they had to be quarantined. So it's a different time on it than others. Nigel Warrior was the first one from the University of Tennessee that was put on it. And just a few days ago, Justin Coleman from the Lions, cornerback, was put on it. The Detroit Times Free Press said that he actually had it, but he was feeling fine, didn't really have any symptoms or anything, so that's good. But, it's something that, the NFL's got to carefully manage and work their way through. The opt-outs, obviously, have been there as well, and there's like 41, I think, something like that in terms of opt-out. So I think there's a correlation there. Guys get inside, they see how it works, and they're like, whoa, this is not for me. This is too risky for me. And others are like, hey, let's go. So everybody has their own decision to make. It's clearly taken away some starters around the league, and teams are going to have to adjust. But, already we were going to get a little bit lesser product, I think, early in the year. And then you start taking enough key players out of the mix one way or the other, either permanently for the year or in a temporary COVID reserve list. It's probably going to drop the overall quality before long.
Obviously, you're in a college football market, and that's got to be a lot of the talk in your area. But when you look at the NFL, do you think they start on time?
Gosh, I give it a better shot, than for them to get through it than college football. There's a lot more complications in college football. They have more frequent testing in the NFL, even though there's not any sort of current bubble. Obviously, you can't do a league-wide bubble now. It's way too late for that. But I wonder if it gets bad if the NFL adjusts to some sort of, maybe mini bubbles or bubbles within your own team until you absolutely have to travel to go take on an opponent on the road. So I think the NFL has the resources to adjust to it. I don't know about a percentage, but I do give it a better shot for them to figure out a way, because of the frequency of the testing and the monetary resources they have, for it, them to get it. So I would say yes, I do think it would start, it would start on time, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they do push it back. They set up the schedule for that flexibility, so I think they'll get through it. Starting on time might be a little bit more iffy, Chase.
What did you think about the news that came out today, being a wrestling fan, of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and his investment group buying the XFL, trying to keep it going?
You know what? I've been a little bit out of pocket in the gym and doing a couple other things, so I hadn't seen that. It is interesting. He's such a star, and whatever he does, I think people are going to run back into it. Maybe he has so many friends that were in that league in some form or fashion, management players, who knows. If we get an off-season league that it gives guys an opportunity to work on their game and get better, then I'm fine with it. I don't know how successful it'll be. Can you do a third version? Certainly the second one wasn't anything they did. More power to it. I'm good if he's able to pull it off, for sure.
Did you have a good birthday over the weekend?
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was good. It was good. I hit my favorite steak place here in Knoxville, Ye Old Steakhouse, and had a little bit of cake and got a lot done this weekend, work, but a lot of sports as well. So it was good. It was good. One quick thing I did want to mention, when we're talking about Philip Fulmer, he talked about the fans, and he was asked about the capacity in Neyland Stadium, and he said it's fair. He was asked by Jimmy, is it fair to say you won't be at 100% capacity? He said, oh, yeah, that's fair to say. He said,
really?
He's hoping for 50%.
50%? I mean,
yeah, but he said that it could. He's hopeful that it could be 50%, but it could very well be, a 20, 25% like you've seen people in other places talk about. Now, 50% in Neyland Stadium, that's still 50-plus thousand. It's spread out as big as it is. I still think for you to a realistic number, if they do get to fans, is probably in the 20-30% range. But right now, just hoping to get to the games at all at this point. But he did say that the 100%, pretty much you can rule it out. It's fair to say that ship has sailed. But they're still trying to be hopeful. He also said they didn't know about the ball walk and tailgating and things like that. They're still trying to talk some of those things through in terms of health and safety. And, they're also going to be connected to what the health and safety and government officials are telling them. That's why one of the reasons why college is so much more in a dicey situation, because if this gets worse and not better, then it's probably going to take it out of their hands. In addition to, even if it is in their hands, if they don't have a higher threshold for testing and keeping guys away from bad situations, I think it could be really dicey for them. I hope that their protocols, shields, like LSU had a face mask shield that they displayed late last week. Tennessee has this technology for contact tracing. Those are all things that hopefully can help. But decision making of players, when you start to get some kids back on campus, that's going to play a big role in this. So it's still very, very treacherous waters right now for college football.
I'm not sure the 100% capacity ship ever got fueled up. I don't think they ever put gas in that ship. So I don't know. Since March, I mean, who thinks we're even? I mean, good Lord.
I'd
even know that was a discussion piece in anything, 100% capacity.
And the reason why I think he was asked for it and he needed to comment on it, because really the last time he talked, and it was also in an interview on our station, he trotted it out there that they were still hopeful. Now, at that point, we weren't in the spike up in cases around the country that we are now, just to be fair. But even then, it seemed like a real long shot. He was trying to be hopeful during that period where it was getting better. So that's why it was relevant to him. So, you know, just on that point. But you're right. Whether you put gas in the boat or not, it was still docked.
Yeah, it was. It's been at the dock, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That ship never left the dock, no doubt. Vince, good stuff. Glad you had a great birthday. Happy birthday. And you have a great week.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. And if you go to 991thesportsanimal.com, go to the blog section, had a big layout on those two models for the SEC scheduling, see what you think of those. So always great to be on with you. And keep up the great work, Will. Appreciate you.
Are you guys, are you operating like RG3? Are you accepting birthday gifts? He was accepting wedding gifts when he was with the Redskins. People could do that as well.
It doesn't expire until next year. So
there you go.
Feel free.
There you go. You can send Vince a birthday gift. Vince Ferrara, at Vince Sports on Twitter. He is with the Sports Animal WNML there in Knoxville, and he joins us every Monday at noon. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. Carolina is starting to pull away in the second period over the Rangers. We'll tell you about that and more. ESPN 102.5, The Game.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.